Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Revelation. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
If you would you turn to the last words that were said before you hit Matthew's account? So that would be Malachi. It's very interesting. Verse 6 of chapter 4 of Malachi, the last verse of the Old Testament that we have set up for us in Scripture. And what does it say? And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So what does the law ultimately bring? The law ultimately brings a curse in that sense. Now, will you go back and you study through what happened at Mount Sinai when the law had been given? Moses comes down with the law. I mean, he's been hanging out with the Lord. You know, he's got these things that God wrote on the stone with his finger. You know what I mean? I mean, this is radical stuff. And he's coming down. He's been hanging out with the Lord. He gets down there, and he's left Aaron, his brother, in charge. And he gets back down to the group. It's a million plus people. It's a lot of people. But he gets back down to the group. And they're supposed to be following, you know, God and waiting on Moses to come down. He's been hanging out with the Lord. He gets back down there, and they're all partying. And they're dancing around and carrying on, basically having a really lewd party, basically. I mean, it's like crazy stuff that maybe you did when you were in the world, like crazy, crazy stuff. And they're dancing around, partying, and all this stuff, and they're dancing around this golden calf. Moses just throws the stones in. I don't want to bust my glasses. We can break the stones, but not the glass. He throws down the tablets of stone, you know, that were written on. And at that point, a few thousand people ultimately were killed or struck dead because of what was going on. The letter of the law, the scriptures say, bringeth death. But the Spirit giveth life. When you find on the day of Pentecost, which I believe was last Sunday, was Pentecost Sunday, the day of Pentecost, when you read through the scriptures and you get into Acts and you're reading through and you see that the Holy Spirit now is poured out, now the Spirit's given, and there are a few thousand souls saved. One gives life. Isn't it interesting that one closes out the first covenant? It closes out with the thought of curse. The closing of the second covenant with grace. So we're not here to be legal beagles, right? I like beagles, so this is not against beagles on any way or form. That's just a funny term, right? Or Ricky Rule finders. If your name's Rick, that's not a bad thing for you. I'm just saying, we're not here to be any of those things, right? We're here to be those that would be dispensers of grace. So what is grace? We know the term is unmerited love and favor. Since it's Father's Day, I thought it would be of benefit for us to think on who our Heavenly Father is. He's not a dad that sits up there like the nun, who maybe some of you might have been formerly nuns, that you went to school and just wrapped your knuckles hard because you got out of line with the wooden yardstick that was in there. Whatever it might be, but that's not who our Heavenly Father is. He's not up there waiting to drop the, oh, dude, you blew it. So what I wrote on my hand is, the word scale, not as in scaly, but nor fishy, but just a balance weight. Because I was thinking of grace And so it's so hard to really kind of always comprehend grace in the, but when you see scales, right, you're trying to weigh the balance of something, scale, get it to level out, right? So that you're on good ground. You're not too little, not too much. You know, you're balanced out, right? That's what a scale does. And I was thinking about how easy it is for us as Christians to try to be a Christian. I talk to so many, and I even to myself, and I have that same conversation. Yeah, just try harder, Jim. What's wrong with you? You know, you got to try to do a little better with it. You know, and I think, man, I try, but I'm just not good at this. You know, kind of thing. I'm not good at always saying the right thing. I'm not good at always being nice. I'm not good at always. I'm not good at, you know, being too stern. I'm just not good at a lot of stuff. You know, and you know, I think I just got to try harder. So to me, that was like trying to put something on the scale to make it right. Do you get what I'm saying? Like I can try. God's perfect. His weight and his balance is perfect. And I don't work good on the scale on either side. I've either got too much of one thing or not enough of the other. And I can't balance it out in and of myself. In other words, we spend so much time trying to be a Christian, trying to say the right thing, trying to do the right thing, trying to represent him right, try. And all you're doing is trying to put something on the scale to balance it out, right, or take something off the scale to get it to balance out right. You get the idea? It's just all this, I'm working at trying to make, grace is exactly not that. So whatever your mind pictured of the scale concept, grace is exactly not that. Grace is the idea that God's got the perfect balance, and he says, just hop on, I'll counterweight it. In other words, just jump on, and I'll even it out. I'll make it right. Everything that you can't do right and don't do right, he's already done it for you. So the idea then is, am I the recipient of this grace? Am I just saying, wow, thank you, God, for balancing this out for me. Thank you for making this right for me. See, when I'm like that, then I look at everybody else around me and say, hey, you know, he can make it right for you too. He can balance out your weights too. I know me. I know how messed up I am. And I know if he can balance it out for me, he can balance it out for you. You don't have to. Well, I just, you know, I'm not good at that. I know. Don't worry about that. That's not a problem. I wasn't either. But, you know, he can make it right. Because it's not about, exactly. It's about this Heavenly Father that loves us with a perfect, that's gracious. That's not looking for you to try, but really actually just looking for you to die to self. So you stop trying and start dying, and things start working out better. You just die to self. And you say, oh, yeah, I don't need to worry about that. Now, that, I'm not saying there shouldn't be some conscious decisions or conscious choices that are made that are going to help you enjoy the journey better because, you know, things happen and there's consequences to our choices, right? We all know that. So I'm not saying it's just this crazy free-for-all. Because if I'm really the beneficiary of this grace, I'm going to want to share that with somebody else. And I want them to be able, again, if I haven't had the encounter, I don't have the transformation by God's grace. I have to encounter the grace, the transformation of the grace. Now I've got a testimony of the grace. And the grace is available to everybody. We see the greatest illustration is John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life, for sure. But I think the storyline, that's out of, so that's John 3:16, and then if you go to Luke chapter 15, you'll find what I think is an excellent outline. Let me check this. No, it is, it's Luke 15. All of John chapter 14 talks about this father-son relationship. I want to give you a couple of quick, some little things I looked up. I just got kind of curious about it. God is into family. And I just want to share with you, this is Father, whether it's in the plural form, fathers, which fathers could mean like forefathers, if it's just fathers with just the S. If it's got the apostrophe S, it's more personal, right? It could be your, you know, the fathers, this kind of thing. It's more personal. But forefathers is a little more distant. But and then father itself. This is mentioned in your New King James Bible 1,683 times. That's a lot of times for God to mention something. Son, in any of those forms, sons, or is 3,737. Daughter, 583. Mother, 337. Family, 322. But if we just stayed with father, son, and daughter, let's just stay with father, son, and daughter just for a second. It's over 6,000 mentions in the scripture of the relationship between a father and a son or a father and a daughter. Not necessarily in that context, just the word that speaks to that type of relationship. A daughter, the word daughter would come up. And I know there's many families in the scriptures and all that stuff, so we're using those terms. But what my point is, do you get my point? God's into family. God is describing what that looks like for family to exist and what it means to have family. That many mentions. And he describes himself through the scriptures as our heavenly father. But when you get to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, when you get to that portion of scripture, it's very interesting. I'll close this out real quick because we don't have to read through all of it. I can just give you the highlight reel on this. This is the parable of the son that was a prodigal, right? And so many of us are familiar with this. But the short version of this is this younger, he had an older brother as well, but this younger son came to his dad, and you know, they grew a lot of stuff. They had farms and things. Agrarian? What is that? I can't remember. Agrarian. They're agrarian culture. So people are listening and saying, gosh, he's got to ask the people in his congregation if he's pronouncing the word. Yes, that's true. That's what I have to do. But anyway, they had this agrarian society and culture. And so their kids would work on the farm with them and everything. And so they're all kind of part of this big family biz, right? And so the one younger son says, hey, man, just give me my portion. I'm out, man. I don't want to do this stuff anymore. I'm ready for some adventure, you know? So his dad just says, okay, man, if you want to go, he's like, it's depicting for you and me a heavenly father, okay, and the sons and daughters of his creation. It's depicting that for us. Oh, you want to take off? Okay, well, I'm not going to force you to stay here, you know? God doesn't want to force, you know, that's weird. So he says, yeah, take off. So he gives his son the portion. The son just goes out and starts partying, carrying on, living a wild life. And eventually, we know how that goes. You have a lot of friends when you're doing all that. And then all of a sudden, when your money runs out, yeah, you're back with yourself again. So hanging out with zero. So now he ends up feeding some other guy's pigs, you know. And in the scripture, he's a Jewish young man. And Jewish people had nothing. They weren't supposed to have anything to do with pig swine. So now It's in other words, the description is he's in the lowest of the lowest of the low situations now. He's just trying to pick through some of the trash and junk that they're feeding the pigs, and he's trying to eat some of that stuff. He's just destitute, and he thinks, man, look it. I had it so good before. I was just working with dad, hanging out with my older brother. He's a goofball, but man, it's cool. I can at least eat well. I've got a place to live. I got some clothes to wear. This is just horrible, man. I'm just going to humble myself, and I am just going to head for the house. I have ruined everything. I don't deserve anything, but if he would just let me serve there at the house, I would be thrilled. It would be best. It's better than what I'm doing now. What a mess. It says when he came to himself, you know, when he came to his senses, or when he really realized, oh my gosh, this is my situation. This gets to the key part of this gracious, scaling father who shoves the stuff in the balance for us. This is the greatest part of this as we get to it. Verse 18 of chapter 15 of Luke's account, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. You ever done that? You ever just looked the father in the eye and said, man, you know what? I've sinned against heaven and before you too. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. So communication would travel this way. Sometimes notes or letters could be sent, but a lot of times you'd just be in the marketplace of life and be visiting with someone. We don't know this kid's name, but hey, the dad's in the marketplace of life, brought some tomatoes in on the wagon, and comes in there and he's hanging out. I'm making that part up, just so you know. But he gets in there and he's in the marketplace of life, and this one guy's saying, hey, I think I saw your youngest boy, man. Really? Yeah, he was just filthy, and he was heading this direction, though. I just heard him talking to himself. He's just saying, man, I've just got to get home. That's how he hears about these things. Dad hears, hey, he's coming back. Dad has never stopped watching down the road. Always looking. And we're all the prodigal son and daughter. Always looking. He rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. They had compassion. Ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found, and is found, and they began to be merry. We won't get into the whole older son's head trip and all his problems, but because he just had a bad point of view, and so we don't want to talk about him right now. That's for a whole Bible study worth. But the thing to me that strikes me every time, because I'm just this guy, and I think a lot of us are this person, male or female. We get so headstrong. We just want to do things our way. But when I read that and I see, man, you understand that there is no place else in Scripture ever. We even watch Jesus hearing about his buddy Lazarus that dies, and he stays a couple extra days where he is. And then he walks on over and gets over there. It is, you know, I mean, he's not running. Oh my gosh, not Lazarus. You know, I mean, you know, you don't see, in other words, God is never depicted in Scripture anywhere of running. Except for in this. The father who wants to just slide that thing in called grace and balance it out. That's how this whole thing closes. That's the whole point of the whole New Testament, is that our world is prodigal. And Jesus came in grace to weigh out the balance that no one could ever weigh out. No person could ever do it. Not only is he watching down the road for him, which is exciting, that God is always watching down the road for you and for me. There's an old hymn, Softly and Quietly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. The chorus to it is, see, it says, see on the portals. He's waiting and watching. He's kind of sitting out there on the porch. You see on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. And the chorus goes, come home, come home. Oh, sinner, come home. And to me, that's really what your message, what my message, what our message as a body of Christ is. It's not about what the sin issue is. Dad, you read, Dad doesn't even ask for a description or a, hey, what happened to all the money you had? Or what did you, Dad didn't, hey, man. It doesn't need to be discussed. It's your home. You're alive. I love you. Now, it's not that, you know, that ring that was given to him wasn't just any ring. That was the family signet ring. And the family signet ring is given to show that you have the authority within the family to buy, sell, and trade, to do business on the family's behalf. In other words, it was a big display of, you know what? I still trust you. You ever thought that God would say, hey, here's the signet ring. See, you and I have been sealed with the spirit of promise that way, with this great purpose and this great plan. Some of you, man, some of our dads were just goofballs. Some of our dads were great men. Some of our dads were just, we were too familiar with all their failures and stuff. But look, this is the Heavenly Father we have. And we started out in that psalm that we read. Man, our dad rides on the clouds. That's radical. That's who our dad is. And you know what? He's inserted grace in the balance for you and for me. Father, thank you for your word. I am so thankful that you watch and wait for us and are looking for us to come home. Thank you that you're always just that prayer away. That it's this simple prayer of faith, opening our hearts. Your word says, behold, you stand at the door and knock. And if we would just open the door of our hearts, you will come into our lives and have a relationship with us and us with you, that you would give us everlasting life freely, that you would slip that grace right in there on the scale and balance us out. And Lord, we can't tell you how thankful we are for that truth. And today, for those who just need to open their hearts, Lord, I pray that you would just give them that courage to just pray that simple prayer of just asking you, Jesus, to forgive of sin and to come in, make your home in their heart. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. You know, in the book of Acts, we learned a great little story. And I think about it sometimes when we wrap up a message like we did today and how there's just a response that kind of stirs in us when we hear God's word. You know, there was a guy that was a Philippian jailer. He was just a jail guard, and he realized that the people that he was interacting with were worshiping God and connected with God. And his response when he interacted with these guys, he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. You know, God's got a plan and a purpose not only for you, but for your family, for your household, for your friends. But it begins with you giving your life to Jesus and getting right with God. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life, but never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you did give your life to Jesus, but you're not walking with him. Either way, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel message, the good news that God loves you and has a purpose and plan for your life. Anyway, God loves you, and it's a simple prayer of faith. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, God will forgive you of your sin if you will confess your sin. He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Let's pray that prayer right now. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin, that you'd come into my heart and make my heart your home. I want to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for everlasting life. And fill me with your Holy Spirit that my life might please you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.